Enron, of course, helped pioneer trading in energy. But the company saw an even bigger market in another commodity, trading in broadband, trading in the capacity of fiber optic networks that carry voice and data over long distances. As with other Enron ventures, the company's broadband division ended up promising much more than it could offer, and it only added, in the end, to Enron's huge debt. NPR's Larry Abramson has a report.
If you find it hard to imagine how energy can be bought and sold like pork bellies, trading in broadband capacity is even more abstract. But basically, it's supposed to work like this, according to Jerry Samuels of Rate Exchange, a broadband brokerage.
There might be a route of bandwidth between New York and Los Angeles, and the actual underlying commodity would be that capacity, lease bandwidth capacity, for perhaps a year's time.
Over the past few years, the U.S. and other countries have been blanketed with high-capacity fiber-optic cables. These cables use light to transmit huge amounts of information, whether regular phone calls, internet traffic, or movies on demand. Enron decided this ability to exchange data could be bought and sold on markets just like anything else. And the company leaped into this endeavor with the same bravado it brought to all its business ventures. Rod Cookrow is managing editor of Platts Bandwidth Market Report.
So when they said in the early 2000, we're going to create a market in bandwidth now, and we think that it will be larger than gas and electricity combined. And they threw out some numbers in terms of annual transactions that might occur, and it was in the tens of billions of dollars. Well, immediately, most of the ratings agencies upped Enron's stock to strong buy.
Other Texas energy companies like El Paso and Dynegy followed Enron's lead. But the biggest players, the telecommunications companies that built and own these fiber optic networks, refused to play along. Analyst Peter Fusaro of Global Change Associates says that meant the market could never grow big enough to succeed.
The bottom line is we only had energy companies really trading bandwidth. AT&T, WorldCom, Sprint, Cable, Wireless, etc. did experimental trades, but they never entered the market with prices going down and only energy companies trading capacity. That wasn't good news for building out a trading market yet.
Prices continued to fall as telecom companies, flush with money from Wall Street, kept laying more cable. Meanwhile, average Americans were not lining up to pay $50 a month for high-speed internet access, especially because there was still little online entertainment to enjoy. Enron tried to prime the pump. It teamed with video rental giant Blockbuster, hoping to deliver movies on demand to high-speed users. Rod Cookrow of the Bandwidth Market Report says here again, Enron promised an instant payoff.
Well, it was a 20-year agreement. I think Blockbuster viewed it as something that would indeed take 10 to 15 or 20 years to mature, whereas Enron gave people the impression we're in this deal now, and we're going to be delivering this next year.
The partnership with Blockbuster fell apart, but not before Enron borrowed millions of dollars to support the effort. So Enron Broadband bit the dust, eating up over $1 billion while generating almost no revenue. There's still too much broadband capacity, and the market Enron helped create is now dormant. But it may rise again. Analyst Peter Fusaro says Enron may have been arrogant, but the company was also something else.
Visionary. You can have the vision, but markets don't occur just because someone wills them to occur. Most of us think this will still be a commodity market. It's just premature.
If the broadband market does eventually flourish, Enron probably won't be around to enjoy the fruits. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.